This morning's message is found in Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 23, protecting the king. Pastor Stan.
As you can tell, our messages have been coming from the book of Matthew and various different themes about what Jesus had to go through and what we are to go through and what people have to go through. We find it very engaging that God works with humanity in all the things that he does. Ever since creation of the world, he's told humans to take care of the world and to care for the land. And we've been doing that ever since. God's been working with people ever since. Even in the advent of his son, when Jesus came into the world, God used humanity. And I think that is really what we're looking forward to hearing today. But anytime God uses people, you know that there are dangers involved. Amen? I don't know about you, but I know that when God uses me, he sometimes calls me to something, and I think, okay, God, you sure you want to do this now? You sure you want to use me? Because I'm very fallible. Very, very fallible. And yet God somehow, in his marvelous way, chooses to use us. We make sometimes good decisions, sometimes bad decisions. Lord willing, he will override the bad decisions and continue on with his plan anyway. It's interesting to note that there are some situations that God leads humanity into that requires his protection. We often call out to God for his protection, don't we? We call out to God for his protection. And we call out for him to lead us, to guide us, to help us. We pray for others and we call out to God, God, I need your protection. Is it surprising when we think about the advent of Jesus Christ that even the baby Jesus needed protection? That's what we're going to talk about today. And as we do that, we want to consider the ways in which we face perils in this life. There's so many perils in this life. I mean, just this past week, I've come across a number of situations. For instance, Seki Sensei's wife, I mentioned that she has a tumor on her lungs and on her hip bones, femurs. Turns out, I understand that it was diagnosed this past week that it is cancerous. Stage 4. Pastor Seki's wife. We face these perils in life. And she reaches out with her heart to her Lord Jesus Christ who gave her salvation. And that's what she does. For other people, they face perils and you're not sure why they're going through it. Maybe they're not in a place of faith. And God wants to get their attention. Maybe they're not reaching out to him now. There's a person, as I mentioned, I'm ministering to that doesn't have any real relationship with the Lord and have gotten to share the Lord with him. And I'm encouraging him to reach out to the Lord. And as often as I can, I say, let's pray. Let's go to the Lord with this situation. We know the Lord is directing this situation in some way. And I remind him that it's not a dismal situation because of Jesus Christ. Apart from Jesus, it would be dismal. But it's not because of Jesus Christ. And that's the message that we have today. Protecting the king really is a function of the Lord as he works through people and assures that his plan will succeed. Let's go to him in prayer now. Our Father, as we consider the advent of Jesus, the coming of Jesus into the world. You introduced to us so many different dynamics, and we find ourselves caught up in the story of Jesus entering the world. Some things we don't really connect with as easily, like the shepherds seeing a wondrous sign from the angels, but other things, like the story we'll hear today, our hearts can connect with that in many different ways. So, Father, I pray that you draw us now into this place where we'll engage the story of your Son coming into the world as King. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's begin by our scripture reading today. If you have your Bible, you can open that up to Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 23. The title of the sermon today is Protecting the King. Okay, let's read this together. Ready, go. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, Out of Egypt I called my son. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead. So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee and went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets. He will be called a Nazarene. One of the things that is prominent in this particular passage of Scripture is the number of times it was says, so it is fulfilled. Matthew, being a Jew, wrote from a Jewish perspective, and so he had knowledge of the Old Testament prophecies. And he provides a very nice bridge describing the connection of the Old Testament with what we would call the New Testament today. Of course, it wasn't called the New Testament then. The New Testament wasn't written. But the coming of Jesus Christ, how it fulfills prophecy. And there are so many ways that this fulfills prophecy. We see a number of other things happening here. We see that God is working with Joseph, with humanity, with a person, in guiding that person along a path. And God does that with you and with me as well. So as Jesus lived his life in ministry, died and ascended on high, he left the Holy Spirit to lead us. And so today, the Holy Spirit often leads us in that way, kind of an unction, kind of a nudging, if you will, for all those who place their faith in Jesus Christ. Everyone who places their faith in Jesus Christ has the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit leads in that kind of way. And so like Joseph was led by the Lord, we too can be led by the Lord as well. One of the things I mentioned that I wanted to talk to you about today was this person called Herod. As we read in our scripture here, every one of those sections started off with Herod. Herod is a big figure in this passage of scripture. The first point I want to make here, and I want to begin by asking the question, is why does God protect the king? Why does God protect the king, that is, Jesus Christ? Number one, if you have your notes page, if you could take that out. Why does God protect the king? Number one, to give us security in the midst of threats. To give us security in the midst of threats. One of my friends of mine, he was in the National Guard, and talked to him, and he told me about his visit to Chicago one time and how he got beat up, and the thieves took all his money. And he became a believer after that, and we became very close friends. And And he would tell me this story, and he says, you need to be careful, right, when you go to certain areas. There are always threats around us. And I don't know about you, but I've faced potential death many times, maybe more than some of you. But I believe God is always working around us and protecting us at all times. But there's this guy named Herod. Herod the Great, he's known as. And he had eventually had four sons. He had four sons who at the end would take over, after Herod died, would take over. That's why in this scripture it says Archelaus was now reigning after his father Herod the Great had passed away. But this is who Herod is. We mentioned last time that he had no right to the throne of the king of the Jews. He was appointed by the king. He was appointed as king of the Jews by the Roman Senate. What I didn't mention last time was he was so insecure in his political position and of the world around him and of his own goals and priorities and his own agenda that he had two of his wives executed. How would you like to be married to that guy? He had three of his sons executed, his own sons. There was a saying that said, it's better to be a sow in Herod's farm than it is to be a son in his household. That's this guy. He knew that no one liked him, and therefore, before he died, he gave this order to his soldiers that all the elders, Jewish elders who were imprisoned and incarcerated, would be killed. Just go in there and just kill them. Why? Because it would bring mourning, even if it wasn't for him. Even if it wasn't for Herod, people would be mourning. That's the kind of guy we're talking about here. So to go into a place of like Bethlehem and wiping out kids, that was nothing for Herod. That was nothing. But this is the kind of person he was. And so he told the wise men, as the wise men consulted Herod and Herod's chief priests and teachers of the law, where was the Messiah going to be born? Herod told the wise men, go and find, make a careful search for the baby, and when you find him, let me know so that I may, what? Worship him. That's right. You're going to trust this guy? Would you leave the chickens with the fox? No. So he was an ice cold-blooded killer. And he ended up killing children in an effort to kill Jesus. So in the midst of a man like Herod, in his reign, his kingly reign, Jesus Christ was born. We see the contrast of two different kinds of people, don't we? We see Herod grasping for his own power. We see Jesus, who the Apostle Paul would say in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, Jesus being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. That is the spirit of this king, the baby king. And he is brought into, this baby king is brought into, right into the realm of Herod the Great. Have you ever felt pursued by dangers? Have you ever felt like at every turn there was something out to get you? This particular person I'm ministering to was living at his place. He made one small decision that turned out to be not a good decision. I didn't think it was a bad decision, but it turned out it wasn't a good decision. He lost the place he was at, living there, and he had to move to another place temporarily to stay there. And he had to move from there to another place. And just a few days ago, he moved to yet another place where I visited him. After the Christmas program, I went to his place last night. All that happened in the span of about 3 weeks. And he just feels chased. You ever feel chased by your circumstances? Like your circumstances are just kind of after you. Maybe it's a person who's pursuing you. Maybe you know that a person is out to get you. Maybe it's your circumstances. The circumstances in this particular season just seems to just be not going your way. Maybe it's lies in your own head. Sometimes we tell ourselves lies. You don't need somebody else to tell you lies. Sometimes we tell ourselves lies. And we believe our own, the things that are not good and the lies. Maybe it's your past. Maybe your past is pursuing you. Sometimes we just need to stop and listen to words like this chorus of this song, The Voice of Truth. It's in your notes page by Casting Crowns. It says, "But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I've tried before and failed. The waves, they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win. You'll never win." That's why we need to know that God protects us, even when we don't know it. That's the next blank in your notes page there. God protects us even when we don't know it. Sometimes we get to see how God has protected us. I was riding my bike up to school one day, and as I've always done, I looked back and saw the car was really far behind, so I was going to change lanes. And this was going uphill, so I wasn't going fast, and neither was the car, I thought. So I started changing lanes. The car came right up to me and hit me. Boom! And I thought I was okay until you know how the adrenaline wears off and you feel every little ache there is. That's just one example of when I could have lost my life. That's one of many. And I think about all the times, perhaps, I'm oblivious to, that I could have lost my life. And I believe God is always about the job of protecting us. He's always about the job of protecting us. Danger lurks everywhere we go. And what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 to 31, he says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Two sparrows are sold for a penny." He intentionally chooses a bird that is really common and people don't really care about. In the minds of people, that's not a worthwhile animal. It's not really valuable to me. It's not like a cow or a sheep, but it's a sparrow. But Jesus says, not one of them falls to the ground outside of my Father's care. Various different translations translate this verse in different ways. The New American Standard and English Standard Bible says, "They cannot fall to the ground apart from my Father." And that's all it says, just apart from my Father. In other words, my Father's there. When a sparrow falls to the ground, folks, the Father's there. And because of that, other translations say, they cannot fall to the ground without it being my Father's will or without my Father's consent or permission. It adds those kinds of words. And Jesus goes on and says, "You're worth more than many sparrows." And so he says, "Do not be afraid." That whole story up there saying, you are valuable, so do not be afraid. We have to fight that, don't we? We need words like this in our lives, and God says, do not be afraid. He comes alongside and assures us that we are valuable. God's purpose for Jesus will not be thwarted. God's purpose for you will not be thwarted. God protected Jesus to fulfill Jesus' purpose. And likewise, God will protect you to fulfill your purpose. So I have a question here as we ponder this. Did God protect Randy Hongo? Okay, I see some nods. Absolutely yes. God protected Randy Hongo for his purposes. For God's purposes. There is nothing that can happen to us that will thwart God's purpose. Somehow in the messiness and ugliness of life, God's purpose for individuals and mankind is carried out. You remember last week, Randy gave a tremendous testimony of healing. It is praise the Lord for his healing. And in my heart, I'm praising the Lord for his healing. And when I get the news yesterday and saying, he passed away? How does that work? The testimony of his healing with Randy passing away. Maybe that's what God wanted from Randy. The testimony of God's healing in his life. Randy fulfilled that purpose. I think those of us who know him know without a doubt Randy fulfilled the purposes of God. And when God says, your purpose is fulfilled, we can say, well done. I can breathe my last. There's nothing that can happen to you away from God's protection. So God protected the king to show that he protects us even when we don't know it. Why else does God protect the king? Number two, if you look in your notes there, he protects the king to show us how often he uses people to protect people. He uses people to protect people. So the Magi went from a different route. You know when the Magi went a different route rather than going back to Herod? They gave Jesus life. They protected him. So when Joseph responded and went a long distance to Egypt, they gave Jesus life. They protected him. God used the Magi. He used Mary and Joseph to protect his son, helpless son. There was no force field bubble around the Savior. God didn't use that one thing. And I remember a show that I watched a long time ago, one of these science fiction shows. I can't remember which show it was, but it was about this alien. And he had this little thing you attached to his arm. Have you saw that? And a little button on it. And whenever he pushed this button, a force field would come around him. And there was nothing that could get through it. You shoot a gun at it, boom, and just bounces off. Try to get a knife through it, you can't do that. And this guy wanted that power. So he killed the alien, he took the button, and he pushed the button, and he formed this force field around him. But he couldn't get it to unforce field. Oops. And so, that's one of those shows, it just kind of leaves you hanging like that, right? That was so disturbing to me, I tell you. But I got a lot of sleepless nights about that. At least I'm... The good thing about that is I can use it in a sermon, 50 years later. But there is no such force field bubble around Jesus. God used people to protect him. This almighty king came down as a vulnerable baby, and he put him in the custody of people like Joan and Ken and Ralph and Quina. Just ordinary people. Can you imagine that? The vulnerability. God uses people to protect other people all the time. Think about hospitals. Think about firefighters and police, law enforcement, police officers, our military, our government, or average citizens protecting one another. The most innocent needing protecting. How about you? Does God want you to protect somebody? Do you need somebody to protect you? This person that I'm ministering to said, you know what, I've just trying so much right now. And I just got to the end. I just decided I have to reach out. And I said, that's the right thing. Reach out for help. So God protected the king to show him how, to show us how often he uses people to protect people. So why else does God protect the king? Point number three, because saving humanity from its sin is a worthwhile mission. Saving humanity from its sin is a worthwhile mission. We know the heart of God, his love for people. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life. That's right. So Christmas is a contrast of two kings with two different missions. Herod saves himself at the cost of people, Jesus saved people at the cost of himself. One day, Jonathan Smith is a 30-year-old copy machine repairman from Orange County, was meeting up with his family to hang out with his family in a city called Las Vegas. And he was at Route 91 Harvest Country Music Festival. And he was standing close to the stage, and he heard this, what sounded like fireworks. And the performer there was Jason Aldean, a country music guy. And it turns out the fireworks was not fireworks. It was a gunman shooting from a hotel, 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay Hotel. Smith, when he realized it was gunshots, said, "Let's hold hands, family." And 9 of them were running to try to run to the exit. They got separated. So as they got separated, Smith went off to try to find his cousins who got separated as well. And his three nieces, I'm sorry. And when he went back toward the stage looking for them, along the way he saw some people hiding and others panicking. And he says, "I ran toward the shooting, and there was one lady on the ground. Smith helped her up and told her to run. He directed other people to follow him away from the Las Vegas Boulevard into a field with rows of cars and where they were crouched to hide behind these cars that were there. And when he stood up to give some girls some help them to get hidden, he got shot in the neck. And he said, "I couldn't feel anything in my neck. There was a warm sensation in my arm. I have this question. What causes a person to run into a dangerous situation to help other people, to expose themselves to danger in order to help other people? It's a person with a mission. It was a worthwhile mission. It has to be worthwhile. You, my friends, are a worthwhile mission to God. God sent his son from the most secure of places, untouchable by mankind, to enter the realms of man, to save us from a murderous tyrant called sin. And he guided us to safety because you are worth it. You are worth it." As the band comes up, I'd like to ask us to consider a couple of thoughts here. So God protects the king because saving humanity from its sin is a worthwhile mission. God protects the king to show us how often he uses people to save people, to protect people. God protects the king to give us security in the midst of threats. As we think about the birth of Jesus Christ, there is so much more. All of these things are such rich things that God comes to us with. As we see the life of Jesus lived out, eradicating our sins, paying for our sins, God's protection is at work in our lives. And we receive it because God has given it to us. Our Father, isn't it just like you? While a man like Herod uses people to protect himself, Jesus, you yourself gave yourself to protect people. Thank you, Lord, for the model you've given. And I pray that Jesus' birth would be an inspiration to us in receiving your protection and protecting others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.